this story, which may be familiar to some of us, may be new to some of us. But actually, we recognize that even though the story is very old, the application to our lives right here today is very real. So in many situations, we can say to ourselves, actually, that's me. I am David. I'm like David. And as we apply some of the things in David's story to our lives too. And this morning, the part of the story we just heard there and just seen on the screen, the title for what I want to describe and want to look at this morning is called Seasons of the Spirit. And we're going to look at a little bit about David's life and the seasons in his life, and then how that is applicable to us as individuals, and then a little bit about church as well. So when I say the word seasons, I don't know what the first thing is that you think of. Maybe you have a favorite season in terms of the year. Maybe you've enjoyed this week and it seemed a little bit like maybe summer was starting. I know that the date is not correct. We're waiting a few more weeks for that. But it feels a bit like there was a season of summer that we moved into and people enjoying that. And I know you probably got your paddling pools out, didn't you? Anybody get your paddling pools out this week? Victoria was in the paddling pool earlier, which is fantastic. And I know people like other seasons as well. For example, spring, the whole sense of new life. And I don't know whether it's just because I'm getting older, but as I just seem to appreciate the seasons a little bit more. The pink blossom on the trees never looked quite so beautiful as it does these days. Anyone else agree with me? Yes. And then the autumn, of course, is fantastic as the leaves and the seasons change and we see the beautiful tapestry again in creation as we see the colours of the trees and how that changes. And I know there's a lot of people who love autumn. Again, it's a bit of a sense there's a new term, there's a new start, it's a new season of learning as well for many of us who are involved in that. And then, of course, winter. I don't know if there's many people who are going, yeah, I can't wait for winter. I love that cold chill and scraping the ice off my car. And of course, there is in this country, at least we get the possibility of saying, we can legitimately say, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. That could actually possibly happen. Just think how awful it would be if you live in Australia and you have to have Christmas dinner on the beach. Wouldn't that be terrible? And of course, the seasons, there's those seasons in terms of our year. There's also other seasons, of course, sport. The football season is just about finished, although it seems to be on all the time, doesn't it? Only a few weeks' time and we'll be starting the whole thing again. Some people obviously are very pleased with the way seasons finished in terms of football, but most people are, I guess, not quite as pleased as they could have been because there's only one winner, isn't there? The other thing I was thinking about seasons, those of you who are parents and you're facing a challenging situation in the life of bringing up your kids, one of the most comforting things that people say to you when you're experiencing one of these challenges is they say, don't worry, it's just for a season. And sometimes if you're having to wake up at 4 o'clock every morning, then just to know that this is only a season and it won't last forever, thank God, is good news, isn't it? And if that's a word for someone here this morning, then you hold on to that and get someone to agree with you. That'd be good. But in the same way as there are different seasons in our lives, in terms of creation, there's also different seasons in our lives too. I think we'd agree that life as we go through it is not just one existence, it's not just one line, but there are ebbs and flows. There are things that happen for a period of time, and we describe that as seasons. And this morning, of course, we recognize that that's true for us as individuals, but also true for us as church, that there are seasons. And maybe a bit of context this morning, if we are people who've decided to follow Jesus, God has become our Father, the Holy Spirit lives within us, then we begin to understand that he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. We talked about this recently also at the start of the year. We were thinking about what it means to live lives of purpose, live lives knowing God's purpose for our lives. And once we recognize that, once we realize that God has a purpose for us, that he's created us, that he has a plan for our lives, then as we move on that journey towards this purpose, then we realize that there are different seasons on that journey. And today we're going to think for a few moments about the different seasons on that journey. And we're going to describe these as seasons of the Spirit. And to do that, we're going to think in terms of David's life for a moment, in the reading this morning, but also I'm just going to zoom out a bit, maybe on the bigger picture of David's life. Because it's possible, if you think about it, those of you who know the history, this is a bit of a history lesson part of the story, anybody like history? There are parts in David's story that can we can split it into four seasons, if you like, of his life. And they're each separated by three different anointings. You can see it on the screen there. But started off David's life in a season of preparation. And in many ways, we think this was roughly about 15 years. In many ways, this is the hidden years of David's life. We don't know very much. But what we do know is that he developed skills for looking after his father's sheep. And he proved to be faithful in doing that. And then we learned a few weeks ago that he's anointed by Samuel, the man of God, as Israel's future king. And we're told that the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And he begins a new and long season for David. We could call this the season of promise. He has a promise in his life. Samuel comes to him and says, "You are going to be the future king." But in this season of promise in David's life, it's also a season of victory. This is the part of David's life where Goliath is defeated. And it's David becomes the leader of the armies of Israel, winning many battles. And as we heard last week, it was also a season of great challenge. Saul, who is the king, was the king, is in pursuit of him, trying to kill him. And so David's in this position where he knows the promise, but he's waiting for something to happen. And then this season ends, and the story, part of the story we've just heard just now, and if you want to find it in your Bible, it's in 2 Samuel 2. The tribe of Judah come to David, and they say to him, say, "You're our king." They anoint him. And at this point in time, he becomes king, but he's only king of a part of the people of Israel, actually 1.5 tribes. And so it's interesting, he's had the promise and he becomes king, but it's almost like the promise is being fulfilled, but it's only fulfilled in part. And then if you do the maths, this season lasts for about 7.5 years, 7.5 years. And then at that point, Ishbosheth, Saul's son, who'd ended up ruling the rest of the kingdom, is killed. And all of the tribes then come to David and they say, "Look, we recognize that you're the man, you're our king." They anoint him. He becomes the king over the whole of Israel. And then a season of 33 years of fulfillment and fulfilling his destiny or part of his destiny as David becomes the king of all the people of Israel. And of course, today, I'm not suggesting that our lives are going to be identical to David unless there's something I'm unaware of. Most of us in this room are not going to become a king or a queen. Just let me know if that's not the case. But that's not what's going to happen in most of our lives. But of course, we can learn some lessons from David's life. And of course, if you think about it, the exciting truth is that if we have Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, then as we become one with him and we acknowledge that he is actually, of course, he's the king of all kings. David was a king. Jesus is the king. And we get changed from the inside out. We actually become, the Bible says, royalty. So in a sense, although I've just suggested that none of us are going to become kings or queens physically, there is a sense that spiritually we are royalty. We become kings. We become heirs with Jesus Christ. And of course, that means that therefore we have a destiny, if you like, just as David did. And actually, our destiny is better than David because we live in an era that is post-Jesus. So we get to benefit from all the things that Jesus did for us on the cross. What a wonderful thing. I don't know if you realized, but just the amazing blessing that we have. David was blessed, but we have an even greater blessing because we live in this season post-Jesus. And we are called to, we talked about it this morning, to establish the kingdom of God. And that's why we pray and that's why we're so passionately saying, "Thy kingdom come, your kingdom come." We want to see God's kingdom come, the King of Kings, Jesus, here on earth, in our lifetime, and in the places where we live. That's why we're doing this whole "Thy kingdom come" stuff, of course. That's why we're passionate about it. And so this morning, if you're thinking about, what is my season? What is my purpose? Then And I believe that there is a purpose for each one of us. We talked about this sometimes, and it's great to get other people to help come alongside and say, well, actually, what is my purpose? What is my destiny? The truth is that if you're not too sure about that, the great news is we can get busy doing the destiny, which is the destiny of the whole church, which is to see God's kingdom come and see lives changed and transformed, helping people find and follow Jesus. That's true, and it's good news. But the principle is this: like David, we go through seasons of our lives. And what can we learn this morning about David's life and how we can go through spiritual seasons like him? Of course, we want to reach the maximum that God has called us to be, not just to do, but to be as well. So what can we learn? The first thing that we can learn is to be faithful in our current season. Be faithful in our current season. Whether we're clearly aware of it or not, I guess it's true to say that all of us are in a season right now. Truth is, we can't do anything about the season that we've been in, and there are some things that we can make, some choices that we can make, that which will affect our next season. But ultimately, we can't predict everything that was going to happen, but we can make a choice and how to live in this season right now. Of course, it's important to look ahead, and it's also important to think about the future. And we'll do that in some of this David series. In a few weeks' time, we'll start to think about the future and what that looks like. But I think it's really important that we recognize that we make the most of today. Jesus says, those who are faithful with little will be entrusted with much. So whatever season we're in, let's make a decision to be faithful in this season right now. And for some of us, like David, maybe we're in a season of preparation. Maybe we're young. Maybe that some of us in this room who would classify themselves as young. I don't know what that age looks like, but that's true, isn't it? Some of us are young. Some of us feel incredibly young as well, don't we? Even if that's not what it says on our birth certificate. But we need to recognize the importance of, like we said with David, the hidden years. David was faithful with sheep, and then God said to him, you will shepherd my people. And actually, even if you don't know what's next in your life, then even today you can put some things in practice. You can determine to be faithful right now. So maybe some of us are learning what it means to be single. We need to be faithful in that. Maybe we're newly married. We need to be faithful in that. Maybe we have a young family and it feels all-encompassing at times. We can be faithful in that. Maybe you're saying this morning, I'm in a job and I don't know if this is the long term or whether it's just a short term, but we can be faithful in that job. We can be faithful in that place where we are today, can't we? And maybe some of us saying this morning, well, I do know some of the promises. There's some people in this room and I know some of the things that God has spoken to you. And you're in a season where we know that God has declared some things that we are going to be, that we're going to do. And we're in a season of promise. And this season can sometimes be a long one, the promise season. In David's life, it was roughly about 15 years. Those of you might remember another character in the Bible, Joseph. Very famous, he's the guy with the technicolor, multicolor, flashy dream coat. And he had a promise, he had a dream that one day his brothers would bow down before him. And he wasn't particularly wise with what he did with the promise that God gave him. He made a few blunders along the way. And he had his season of promise was, I think it was roughly 33 years. And his season of promise, so he's got this declaration, God's spoken to him, this is in his life. And then he ends up, those of you who know the story, he ends up in a pit. He's sold as a slave. He's wrongly accused. He's thrown into prison. I mean, it sounds like an interesting journey. You know, God gives you the promise. How many people say, oh, I'm looking forward to all these incredible things that are going to happen to me along the way? Maybe not. But Joseph had to go through these things before he reached a season of fulfillment. And if we're in a season of promise, then I think there's two things. We need to be faithful. We also need to be patient. And David does this really well. We looked last week at a part of David's story where he knows he's going to be king and he ends up in a cave. Dave described it for us last week. He ends up in a cave and Saul is there. So Saul, who is the king, David has the opportunity to get rid of Saul. It kind of fast forward a little bit of his destiny, move into this season of promise much quicker. But David doesn't do that. He's patient. He doesn't decide he's going to help God out. How many people know that at times we can offer to help God? If he said something, we'll think, oh, I can help you out here, God. All I need to do is this, that, and the other. And Dave told us a great story last week of how he tried to do that in his own life. But David learns how to be happy and content, waiting to let God bring about the change in him. And I already mentioned that in this season of promise, David still has some breakthroughs. Kills Goliath. He has many victories against the enemies of God. And I'm sure that's the same for us as well. As in our season of promise, it doesn't mean that nothing is happening. We have breakthroughs, and we should expect to have breakthroughs and seeing people affected and transformed and changed as we live out the things that God has called us to be. So, be faithful in your current season. What does it mean to be faithful? Well, stay on God's path and stay humble. David's learned to do both. And it's clear from the things we just heard read to us today. And if we look wider in the story as well, we just heard these words as part of the story. It says, in the course of time, David inquired of the Lord. David said, shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah? He asked. The Lord said, go up. David asked, where shall I go? To Hebron, the Lord answered. So David went up. And David was obedient, and he was also humble. He says, God, what do you want me to do? And what a lesson for us to learn. Whatever decisions we're making, whatever we're facing, that we say to God, God, what do you want me to do? I've been challenged by this as I've been preparing and thinking ahead. Do I make sure that all the decisions in my life, I'm saying, God, what would you have me do? What do you want me to do? And then in verse 4, it says, then the men of Judah came to Hebron. They anointed David king over the tribe of Judah. Something very significant here, and I think it illustrates how we should respond too. There's a difference between grabbing the promise and receiving it. You notice that David doesn't grab the kingship. He doesn't try and finish Saul off, but he receives it. He waits until it's given to him. He's faithful, he's humble, he's obedient. The people come to him and they say, David, we know that this promise is over your life and we want you to be our king, and they anoint him. And he moves into his part of his destiny to be king. And as an aside, a little bit, as I was thinking about this and saying, God, what are some of the reasons why maybe we don't always step into the things as quickly as we would like, as quickly as we'd expect? And I think one of the things that God loves to do is he's working on our character. And there may be times when we're expecting things to move more quickly, but God is working on our character in us. I've seen some incredibly gifted people, and it seems like God is actually holding things back a little bit from time to time, just while he works and does things on our character. And the next season, the story is promotion, where the promise has come to fulfillment in part, and the evidence that God's promise has become to come to be fulfilled. So let's agree together to be faithful in our current season. Whatever that is, whatever it looks like, let's determine that we are going to be faithful. The second thing that we could learn from David's story is that we seek God in every season. And this was key to David's success. Just read those verses just a moment ago where it says, David inquired of the Lord. Whatever he went through, whatever season he was in, he sought God. And if you read the whole story of David, there's so many times when he comes before God and he says, God, what should we do in this situation? If he's facing a challenge or there's a battle or there's a war to be fought, David time after time comes back and he says, God, what should we do? And David, it's very clear that he develops this friendship with God. And we know David is described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. But it's clear that David has his real confidence in God. The story of David and Goliath, I love it when David says, you come against me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty God. What confidence David has in his relationship with his God. And I don't know about you, but there are times when maybe I'm lacking some of that confidence that David has. Another time in the story, part of the story in 1 Samuel chapter 30, it's just before where we've read today. And in terms of highs and lows in David's life and his journey, this is one of the lowest points. David and his men have come back home from a battle to find that their wives and children have been captured and the city, the place where they've been living, is burnt to the ground. And the way that it's described in the story, it says this: they raised their voices and wept until they had no strength left to weep. And there's times in our lives, anyone been distressed? Maybe this week, as we see some of the stories and watch some of the awful pictures as the events on Monday unfolded, season of great distress. You know, David says they raised their voices and wept until they had no strength left to weep. There are times in our lives, aren't there, but maybe feel like we have no strength left to weep. And it says David was greatly distressed. Maybe an understatement. But then it says this, and actually this wasn't just the case for David. That was his own personal circumstances, but it was worse than that, because all of his colleagues, all of his warriors alongside him, they were saying this is David's fault. So it's not only is he faced with the impact of his own family situation, but actually he's got people around him are saying, well, this is David's fault. David's getting the blame, not just for what's happened himself, but for what's happened across the entire people group. Those of you who lead anything or carry weight, you know what it's like when you're the leader and everyone is pointing at you saying, it's him. But this is one of my favorite parts of the story. It says this. It says, but David, this is how David responded. And it's evidence of the relationship, the strong connection that David has in God. It says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He didn't deny the situation wasn't bad. He didn't give up. He took some action. He took some initiative and he strengthened himself in the Lord. I don't know how you're feeling today. I don't know where you're at. I don't know whether you're in a situation that's personally difficult or whether you feel distressed or whether you're aware of the what's happening in our country and the nation, and this is the way that you feel. But what great role model in David that he strengthened himself in his God. And maybe today, this is a strengthening word for some of you. You need strength from God. Maybe it's time to strengthen yourself in God. And then in the next step in the story, again, he comes back to God and they move forward and they take the ground and they actually have a great victory and bring the family back. God is faithful to them. But it's great to look at the life of David as an example of how we can live. And I was just reflecting not only on this verse, David strengthened himself in the Lord, but as you know, David wrote many of the Psalms. And if you just, it's an interesting exercise at some point, just flick through some of the Psalms. There's so much encouragement, there's so much evidence in there that David had confidence in his God. I just picked out a few. These are just the start of a number of Psalms. Psalm 16, verse 1. And just allow some of these words to encourage your spirit today. Or maybe identify, saying, yeah, that's me, I'm David. Psalm 16, verse 1 says, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. Maybe we need to do that today. Psalm 18, verse 1 says, I love you, Lord, my strength. Psalm 23, very famous psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. What a wonderful promise. Psalm 25, verse 1, in you, Lord my God, I put my trust. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 28, to you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. Psalm 30, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will extol the Lord. When? At all times. In other words, all seasons. His praise will always be on my lips. And Psalm 63, the last one. I love this one. It's one of my favorite psalms. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. And verse 3. Because your love is better than life itself. My lips will glorify you. What wonderful words, and what a great prayer to echo in the life of David. And this morning, maybe we just go, God, this is what I'm declaring today. I'll exalt you, Lord, for you've lifted me out of the depths. Maybe these are some of the promises that we need to align ourselves with even this morning. So David, he demonstrates the lifestyle of a worshiper, the lifestyle of a God chaser. Let's make sure that whatever season we're in, that we make the posture of our lives to be those who are seeking God, who are worshiping God, putting him first. I love the fact that David says in this last bit, your love is better than life itself. In other words, God, my relationship with you is the most valuable element in my life. Let's make that our prayer. Whatever season we're in, say, God, I'm going to delight in you. I'm going to get my satisfaction in you. I'm going to get my strength in you. Then I'm going to be as ready as I can be in the place that I can be to step into the promises that you have for me. It's good news. And finally, the third thing, let's be expectant for a greater season. You know, if you've been in a season for a long time, it's easy to settle and think, this is it. This is all that there's going to be. David was in this season of promise mentioned already for about 15 years. And if we get stuck and we lose perspective, we think, this is just my story. This is where it's going to end. We need to recognize, the first thing I think we need to recognize, and maybe today for the first time some of us are reflecting on this, actually, that life is seasonal. Maybe you've never thought about it before. Maybe you just thought this was it. This was all that God had for us, all that God had for you. Of course, we have the benefit of being able to, if we want to, read the story of David. But of course, David couldn't read the story of David because no one had written the story of David when David was living the story of David. So when he was facing times of trouble, we know the end of the story. We know that God comes through. We know that God is faithful. We know that God came through on his promises. Of course, David didn't have that, did he? David had to remain faithful. And David had to rely on his God. And so many times, we recognize the confidence that David has. But of course, the God who came through for David is the same God that'll come through for you, and he'll come through for me. So important that we know that. And there's all kinds of seasons in our lives, and I think it's important that we reflect on that and have a little think about what that looks like. Of course, there are seasons in our church life as well, and we often reflect on different seasons. People serving, we often talk about people serving for a particular season, which is a really healthy way for us to operate. People come and serve in a particular area of the church life. Some of the things, even our Ashwood life groups, we have an amazing group of people who serve in that area of leading life groups, as Jill and Rachel say, serving, caring for people, supporting people, sometimes challenging people if that's important. But it's the way that we as church express that support, care, discipleship, accountability at times in our life groups. But as well as that, and so people will move in and out of leading, and that's really healthy and really helpful. But as well as, I was thinking about that this week in terms of us as church together. We know that God has said a number of promises over our church, over Ashwood Church, as us, as a body. We know that those of you who've been around when we've talked about the whole our mission, as Zoe's explained so brilliantly this morning, to help people find and follow Jesus. We know that there are steps in that journey where God will ask us to do certain things. And we're on one of the journeys that we're on, one of the seasons that we've been looking at is the whole thing of this building and what happens next to it. And those of you who've been around the last few weeks, we explained that the land next door to the Ashwood Centre is going to be available to buy. It's one of the things that we've said, God, is this, we're putting into practice some of these things here. We're saying, God, is this something, we're going to seek God. We're going to say, God, is this something that we should be involved in as church? And so many people have come back and said to us, yeah, we feel this is right. It's exciting. And thinking about Paul Brownback when he's here, he said, you won't have enough space. He talked about needing to grow the capacity. And that's something that we feel very strongly too. And we could argue that we've been in a season of promise. We knew actually when we came into this building, because God spoke to us the first time we're in it, saying that this room, this building, this space won't be big enough. And some of us maybe thought, oh golly, that's a shame. We've just spent a long time painting and decorating. But actually the truth is we could settle in a season of promise and not have God's best for us. We could stay, and actually, it's not that there's anything wrong with the Ashwood Centre here. It's been a great home for us. I think we'd all agree it's been a great space, it's been a great place. But actually, if we're going to be all that God intends for us to be, we believe very strongly that actually we need to create more space. And I felt, and I mentioned this, we gathered together a group of our leaders on Wednesday evening. And as I was praying, I felt that actually God said that in this next season, if you like, that God was going to test our faith as church and prove his faithfulness. And I don't know about you, some people are in this room are in exam season. When God says he's going to test you, I'm not sure that creates in me a leap for joy. But actually, I do know that God is my Father. I trust him. And if that's what he's wanting to do in the next season, then I want to be obedient. I want to fall in line. And I'd love us as church to say together, yeah, that's where we're at. That's what we want to be. Do we agree? You agree with that? Some of us do. And of course, God is far more interested in, we say this every time, God's far more interested in people than he is about buildings. But our ultimate destiny for us to see, we want to help people beyond ourselves. So land and buildings are great, but actually there are children, there are young people, there are single mums, there are people in our community who we've never even met yet who are going to benefit as we step into the promise of what God has for us. And as we invest our lives, who we are, of course, yeah, that will include finances. Who's excited about the prospect of giving financially? I know some of you, and I'm not saying that flippantly, I know there are people who are getting ready to invest financially. Zoe's just prompt this morning in our meeting. Let's make sure we want to invest in many different ways. Finance is only one of them. But of course, as we look to develop what God has got for us, then that is one of the things that we will obviously need. But for me, as I look beyond and say, well, God, what is the promise? What does that look like? Then actually in many ways, it's for people who aren't even in this room right now, as we invest and we see God's promise for the future. So if we're going to be expectant for greater things, maybe today some of us are saying, well, I know that God has more for me. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are yet to be done in my life. And I believe it's true for us as individuals. It's true for us as church. It doesn't mean that we look back and we say things we've failed or we've been unsuccessful. But the great thing in the kingdom of God is that God is always looking for something that's beyond ourselves. And what's the key to expectancy? Well, it's not just a positive attitude. Although I kind of think having a positive attitude is a lot more helpful and healthy than having a negative one. How many people live around people who have their default position is a negative attitude? It's hard work, isn't it? Some people are nodding at me. But having a positive attitude that's not the key to having a greater expectancy, although I think it really does help. The key is having faith in the promises of God. How did David manage to stay faithful? How did David manage to stay going forward? How did David manage to stay focused on God in the tough times? Well, one of the reasons was he was a man of promise. He had a word from God. He knew that God had said that he would be king. And one of the keys for us individually and as church is to make sure that we know what God has promised so that we align ourselves with those things. You know, we're not just being faithful to anything. We're being faithful to the promises of God. If you say, well, how do I know what the promises of God over my life? Well, it's a big question. It's a big topic. How do we know God's will for us? Lots of different things, and I'm not going to unpack all of that this morning, but often we can just very simply listen for the whispers of the Holy Spirit, a thought in your mind, something that somehow you know that God has put inside you, Sometimes we're reading the Bible and something leaps out. We know that God is, it's not just words on the page, it's God speaking directly to us. Sometimes there are prophetic things, God speaking through other individuals. We weigh those things and we know that God has promised stuff. You know, I'll give you a very quick personal example. When I started work at the place where I'm at now, I think it was on the first or the second day, I got this new job 14 years ago. As I walked into the building, I felt God say to me, Matt, you're not going to be here forever. And on that day, I thought, oh, golly, that means I'm not going to be able to do the work. They're not going to like me. My manager is just going to say, I'm sorry, I've made a mistake. Rather than give you a pay slip, we're going to give you a P45. And that was honestly one of the things in my that I was thinking. I thought, golly. But 14 years on, working for a great company, it's very successful. I enjoy working there generally. This podcast goes live, so if my boss is listening, I love working for you, sir. But actually, the truth is, on that day, and I look back now, and I know that there will be a time when I will not work there, and I could easily get comfortable. There's lots of people who work for this company for all their working life. But I don't know when, I don't know how, but I believe that actually, well, that was one of the promises God was saying to me at that time. And I look back now, and I go, God was saying, don't get too comfortable, because one day you won't be there anymore. And maybe there are little promises. Maybe that this morning, as we close our time together, we reflect on the things where God has spoken stuff, and we need to just remind ourselves of the promises that God has made over our lives. There's some people in this room who've had promises that were spoken over our lives years and years ago. And God is maybe just reminding us this morning that actually you're still in a season of promise, or you've been in a season of promotion. It's time to step into the season of fulfillment. And just as we close, of course, just say one last thing about being expectant for a greater season. The truth is, for every Christian on this planet, we can be assured of this: there really is a greater season in our lives. Whatever season we're in right now, whatever seasons there are ahead, all of us can rest assured that eternally we'll come into a season when the King who has come, Jesus Christ, who has now gone to the Father in heaven, Ascension Day was Thursday, wasn't it? Jesus will return again, this time coming back to rule and to reign. And when he does, it will remove all unrighteousness, all injustice, all hate, all pain, all sickness. There'll be no more death. Everyone who is truly his will be resurrected. We'll have new bodies. How many people are looking forward to a new body? We'll live on a new earth. There'll be a new heaven. And if it sounds good, that's because it is. And for some of us, of course, we physically are in different seasons of our lives. Some of us may be entering the last season of our lives here on earth. That's not a depressing thought. That's just life, isn't it? That's just the way it is. And some of us in this room will know that's the case. And can I just say, if that's the season that you're in, let's live the best we can in every season of our lives. And I'm grateful for people that I walk alongside with who live well in whatever season. People who are living well, and they would describe as the final season of their life. Let's learn how we do that together. So let's be faithful in our current season. Let's seek God in every season. And let's be expectant for a greater season. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." That's the ultimate place. That's ultimately where we're heading. But in the meantime, let's be faithful, let's seek God, and let's be expectant.